Welcome to Two Pittas on a Pod. Thank you for joining us. We're excited to share the musings of a couple of yogis.
We hope you learn, laugh, and enjoy, and we hope you will share your comments or questions. Without further ado,
I'm Kat Kahn.
And I am Tanya Rice.
And this is Two Pittas
on a Pod.
Today we're going to talk about the five niyamas.
There's just too much to talk about.
There is way too much to talk about.
And we had every intention of doing it in one episode, but you and I just can fill space.
But I have to tell everyone, I was telling you, I don't know if we're going to have enough stuff. And you said, oh, girl, we are so going to have enough stuff for two of us. And I was Mrs. Doubtful. Yes, I was.
You were definitely doubting Thomas.
I was. And you have proven me wrong. We blabbed our little faces off last week, didn't we?
We sure did. And we're going to do it again this week. So we hope that our listeners love us blabbing our faces off.
Oh, I know. Well, today we're going to talk about the five niyamas, how we treat ourselves. These are our self-observances. The first one is saucha, which is be pure or cleanliness. So shower's nice, brush your teeth. But don't forget, purity also means being cleansed of bad habits, of negative emotions. And they say that cleanliness is next to godliness. And at the basic level, you know, obviously it means showering, wearing clean clothes, keeping your house organized, keeping your car clean. But we can also really think about it. And I think for most of us, we really want to delve deeper into the cleanliness of thoughts.
That's a big one, right? I think it's important, like you talk about cleanliness of body and such, that there's really twofold purpose here. It's cleanliness of ourself internally, and then it's cleanliness of how we engage in relationships too, which is another layer on top of that. So when you talk about cleanliness in ourselves, you know, brushing our teeth and keeping ourselves, you know, clean so that we're not crazy gross, but also that it is about what we eat and what we drink and being mindful of what we're putting into our system, right? And to clean up, as you say, our thought processes. Mm-hmm. With that thought processes, it's that language that we talked about last week in the yamas, is that really kind language with yourself.
Just positive, just being true and pure to yourself.
Yes. And then it's what you allow in. Like if you're going to consistently look at Facebook and become agitated by it, then this isn't allowing you to clean up your thought processes, right? This is actually fueling negative thought processes. Mm-hmm. So if you know it aggravates you, why do you continue to look at it?
Right.
If you're watching a show on TV and you have the inclination to look away, this is probably a clue.
That maybe you shouldn't be watching that show.
That you probably don't need it. You probably would have still the same amazing life without it.
Exactly.
Right. So it's cleaning up what we're putting in, because mm-hmm. that visual stimulation, that audio stimulation is also what's fueling the next thought. It's what fuels our dreams at night. And mm-hmm. then you wake up in the morning disturbed by your dream that was disturbed from the show, that was disturbed from the social media, that mm-hmm. you've just created this really big negative cycle in your life.
Well, and as far as the dreams go, you wake up agitated and frustrated, all because you couldn't turn the TV off.
Right. So it has this really, it has a very big lasting effect of negativity. And it's amazing how it only takes a very simple action to clean it up. Just don't turn it on.
Right.
Or turn on something that's going to be joyful and make you laugh, as opposed to make you fear or make you be angry at the world or what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Or just stealing some of your time.
Right.
You know, now, how many times have you gotten sucked into a YouTube hole or a TikTok hole? And it's not that it's dirty thoughts, but, you know, by any means when we're talking cleanliness, but it just doesn't improve your life. You know, it's just bringing, it may bring maybe not even negativity, but just crap into your world that, you know, it doesn't benefit you. It doesn't make your life better. It doesn't make your world better.
Yeah. And then on an additional level, Saucha asks us to clean up our language. And I'm par for this because I swear, just like the rest of them, right? But it's just not a necessary tool, right, to have in your handbasket, it doesn't make my words any more effective. So it's not helpful, right? But it does ask us to speak from a place of truth and obviously from kindness. And if we always layer that first yama over our head of kindness, it's a little bit easier for us to take the other ones because we're like, well, it seems pretty basic.
Yeah. Well, and ahimsa is kind of the big kahuna of all of them, isn't it?
It's the big kahuna. I like that. I'll give you that one.
Well, let's look at the second niyama. Santosha is practice acceptance or contentment, not to be confused with complacency, but means we learn to love ourselves with unconditional positive regard. And it means allowing ourselves to seek happiness, not from outside of ourselves, but from within.
I love that. And that's exactly it, right? Like it asks us to trust in the big plan, whatever that big plan is for you or whatever that divine plan is for you, but trust in the universe and its abundance. Know that wherever you landed is exactly where you are supposed to be. So root down and figure out how to bloom right where you are. And like you say, stop seeking out there,
right?
And start seeking within.
That's hard. That's the hard work, though.
That's the hard work.
Hard work. And a lot of times we do anything that's easier and we'll waste time, you know, days, months, years doing the easy stuff by trying to seek happiness outside of ourselves and having other people and other things be our happiness when we've had that ability inside of ourselves all the time. We just didn't want to take the time to slow down and look within ourselves to find that.
Right. And finding that you can stop seeking not just fulfillment from the outside, but also stop seeking tomorrow and start living for today. But how many times do we do it? Like, oh, I can't wait for tomorrow. Oh, I can't wait for Saturday. Oh, you know, we're just wishing our time away.
Yeah. And life is short. It's very hard to live in the moment sometimes, but that's one of the most important things we can do is live in the moment.
Absolutely. Do you remember, I was thinking about this just before we started recording our podcast today. Do you remember last fall when we were like, oh my gosh, I can't wait till we broadcast our first episode, and now we're recording, I don't know, 18, number 18 or something?
Exactly.
Yeah. See, every day we're wishing it away. Right. Santosha also asks us to come at our life from this place of contentment. Really, the easiest tool for that is gratitude, practicing gratitude for what you do have, practicing gratitude for the people that are in your life, practicing gratitude for the fact that you woke up this morning.
Right. Well, and when you practice gratitude, then you are more likely to be content with your life because, you know, we're all so, we have so many things in our life to be grateful for. Even on the worst of days, there's always things to be grateful for. And when we look at outside things or outside people to create that for us, it makes it hard to really live in that contentment.
Yeah. Well, and we know that it's tricky because, or at least we know that desire exists because the minute we find joy in something, we have this gripping thought that we can't wait to do it again, right? Like, it's like, oh my gosh, that was so amazing. I can't wait to do that again. And right there, we ripped the joy right out of the first event because we got so excited to do it again that we completely lost sight of really truly pausing and enjoying the moment we just had. Like we're already ready to move on to the next one.
Yeah. And we have to practice contentment too, because I wish I could remember where I read this, but I read this somewhere that it's the feeling of contentment's like a muscle that needs to be strengthened. Or a muscle that needs to be stretched. And you can, you know, I love journaling, but you can work on that feeling of contentment, like with things like journaling or prayer or saying affirmations or doing a gratitude journal, because it's always about finding a balance and being content with where you are while working towards your vision. So it doesn't mean you have to be content sitting there where you are, but being content where you are, but working towards your dream, your goal, your vision.
Right. And that goes back to your discussion about contentment, but not complacency. Like there is still definitely room to grow and room to go on to the next thing, but it's when it starts to disturb your processes because you become too excited or too obsessed that you start to miss what's right here and right now.
Right.
One of the things that probably takes us from this is our lovely Amazon shopping app, which makes it so easy for us to say, well, I want that, click a button, and it will show up at my door.
Get it and get it.
Yeah.
You know, don't be raining on my parade.
I love Amazon as much as you do. I'm not raining on your parade. We're raining on each other's parade.
Well, let's look at the third niyama, tapas. It's pretty much do your work. Patabi Joyce said, practice and all is coming. And he was referring to a yoga practice and a meditation practice, and that it doesn't really happen through osmosis, that we have to do the work and let the benefits unfold. So it's really kind of about the discipline. Are you disciplined in the use of your energy?
Right. And tapas offers us that sense of working at who we are, like knowing that we did the work and this is who I turned out to be. And it's pretty good. Like, yeah. Right. It's like the testing gold in fire to know its purity and know its strength. Right. And we all have things in our life that have tested us, all of us. And if we're at a good place after those major tests in our life, we can look back and say, it made me who I am. It right. made me better. And that's the work of it, as opposed to, you know, what sometimes when we're still so close to the trauma, we can't see that it's made us better.
Right.
Right.
Well, and one thing interesting about tapas too, is in Sanskrit, it implies fire. And I know about in our training that I did with you, but it's often interpreted as having self-discipline, but I really kind of like thinking of it more as having a burning passion. And it's that burning desire to express ourselves and to contribute to the world.
Right. It's that even as much the burning desire, but it's also burning off the junk. It's the ability to say, you know what, that doesn't serve me anymore. So I'm going to just burn off that junk and get to the next step, right?
I like the burning off the junk part. Tapas is the fuel to keep doing the work.
It really is about showing up, right? Showing up. And like you said in the beginning with Patabi Joyce's comments, is it really does ask us to show up for a regular practice. And for us, that means showing up on our mat to do yoga, to show up for our meditation practice, to be intentional each day, to live this path of the 10 yamas and niyamas and choose, right, that this is the path I'm on. This is what I'm passionate about.
Well, and we also have to kind of look at how we find that balance between contentment and that burning passion to improve. We've got to have a balance there.
Right. And, you know, with that is really, again, goes back to gratitude and acceptance, but also that if this is my truth and this is the journey that I'm on, that these are my daily choices. And with those daily choices, I know I can get through anything because I'm going to process it with kindness, cleanliness. I'm going to be devoted in my journey and it's all going to line up.
Exactly. I love that. Oh, I'm going to let you pronounce this one for our listeners.
Svadhyaya.
Svadhyaya. Svadhyaya.
Svadhyaya.
So every time we mention the word, I'm going to just point at you and you say it, okay?
If only our listeners could see that little interchange.
Well, and you know, I know that there are some words that just sound like tongue twisters for me. But anyway,
svadhyaya
is take time to reflect, no matter what your field of work. It probably involved a lot of years of schooling. And you know, you and I both have spent a lot of years in school. We took that schooling and it took our life experiences to become the person that we are now, and becoming that expert in our own lives, in our own world. So it's the study of the self and the text. So this is looking at working towards our self-awareness. Like traditionally, it was more about studying spiritual texts, but it can be broader. It can be like the self-help book that we're doing or book club. You know, it can be any kind of a self-improvement book or a yoga book or listening to podcasts. Anything that can work towards self-improvement.
Right. Self-study is really asking us to take time to look deep within and to do it lovingly, kindly, but with an analytical eye. And I don't mean self-critical, because trust me, that's where our mind would go, but it's with an analytical mind. It's saying, hey, I really do think you are a great person. We are on the right journey. I really do think you could make this change, let go of that habit, and then you would be even better. You would be even more grounded and more capable, right? But it's with that kindness, with that love, but with an analytical eye, right? Really taking that close look at ourselves and saying, we've done all of this work, but maybe there's a couple more things we really still need to do.
Well, it's finding those things that help you live a better life, a more fulfilled life, the things that you're passionate about that can help you grow.
Well, because of that, it's related to that, is because what we're putting out there is what mirrors are looking back at us, right? The people that we see, if we are putting out 9/10 the journey is great, but there's still that one poopy little part of us that when we look out in the mirror, it's always going to be that one poopy little part that's going to stand up and stare at us.
Right.
And so it's noticing how, when things go wrong, what's our go-to attitude? Because usually that reflects the one thing that still is broken or isn't fixed or isn't responding well. It doesn't ever rear its ugly head when we're happy, joyful. It only rears its ugly head when we have lost good attitude, when something has stressed us, or when thing scary jumps up in our path. Our go-to is going to be whatever it is for me or for you. And that's what the work needs to be done on.
So that's getting into that introspection, looking within yourself and finding where the work needs to be done.
And when we do so, we start to change our attitude, right? And when our attitude starts to change, all of a sudden things start to line up. Like, you know full well, if you go into a project, oh, I just don't know if I got what it takes. I just don't know, you know, like all of a sudden that tiny thread of doubt lines up all those old monkeys. But the minute you can change your attitude and be like, you know what, I'm going to be satisfied with whatever comes. I'm going to trust that it's going to turn out exactly the way it's supposed to. Then boom, it's like you open up the front door, that person that you needed shows right up. You open up the mail and there's money, exactly what you needed. It's like stuff just starts to land exactly the way it was supposed to.
That gets back to that mind is powerful thing.
Mind is powerful, but we do have to do the work first.
Let's move on to our last one. I don't know why I can't pronounce the niyamas. I didn't have any problem with the the yamas, but let's give this one a go. Ishvara Pradhana.
Close. Ishvara Pranidhana.
Pranidhana. Okay. Ishvara Pranidhana is to stay humble. No matter how big you are, or how wise, or how right you are, how powerful, recognize that you are not the absolute. So it's surrendering to a higher being or contemplation of a higher power. So it can be simply just acknowledging that the things that you can't control in your life.
When it's so true, though, because have you ever noticed that when you're having a bad day, you miss all the really cool things in life? You miss the sunset that day. You miss the compliment that was given to you. You miss it all because you're so stuck in your head, right?
Right.
That all of the beauty of everything just completely passed you by because you got stuck. And instead of getting stuck, Ishvara Pranidhana asks us instead to surrender. It's not my business. It just isn't. I can't control it. It's not my place. Let it go. And the minute you surrender it is when you start to relax that thinking and start to see the goodness again.
And that serenity prayer does kind of resonate with that, to accept the things we can change and let go of the things we can't, and have the wisdom to know the difference.
Absolutely. And whenever we truly surrender, or when we truly let it go, then we start to notice how much we do have. Like, it changes the lens with what we're looking at. lives.
Oh, completely. I think a lot of times we get so focused on the things that we cannot change that we don't see the opportunities that are standing right there waiting for us.
And that's exactly what it means when we release and we let go of the rigidity of what we want or what we want to control. Then all of a sudden our ego steps out of the way and voila, it happens.
Yeah. So it's kind of an attitude of being in the flow, accepting challenges that arise with strength and resilience.
Right. It asks us to stop fighting life and exist in the belief that, again, you are exactly where you were meant to be. It asks us to stop planning so far in advance and trust in the journey. Start basking in the gifts that are already laying all around you.
Right. I love that. So when we look at all of our yamas and our niyamas, it's kind of looking at the meaning of our lives by not just practicing yoga, but maybe by embodying yoga and trying to become a person that's free of jealousy and discontent and taking time to put our beliefs into ourselves and into others and discover who we were supposed to be all along. Trying to live in, I know it sounds a little cliche, but live with more love and kindness and joy.
That's not cliche. That's like the recipe for amazingness. That's awesome. So I think we'll just do a quick little recap of the five niyamas. And then I think we both have some books we want to share with our listeners for people who want to get a little bit deeper into the study of the yamas and niyamas, because there's so much to learn, right? So we started with saucha, which was purity, cleanliness, both of body, mind, spirit, thoughts. But then it brings us into santosha, which is our contentment, like blooming where we are planted, right? And then it brings us to tapas, which is our self-discipline, doing the work, showing up on the mat and putting your best foot forward. Then it took us to svadhyaya, which is self-study. That svadhyaya is really, you know, deciding if there's just anything more that we know we could do to become our best self. And then it takes us lastly to that place of Ishvara Pranidhana, which is a complete surrender to something larger than ourselves and, you know, trusting in that journey.
I know we had some books that we wanted to share. Of course, one that you have to always think about is the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. And you'll find the, all the eight limbs, but the yamas and niyamas outlined within that. And I think you and I both love this book by Deborah Adele, The Yamas and the Niyamas.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, mine is so tabbed and so highlighted. I go in that book all the time, but I use my sutra books all the time too. So I have two additional books as well. One is called The Radiant Sutras. By Lauren Roach. And it is also a really lovely view of the yamas and the niyamas. And the last book that I have is The Path of the Yoga Sutras by Nikolai Bachman, which is also a really lovely book that gives you a great account of the yamas and niyamas.
I did have one more that if someone doesn't really want to delve real deep, they want more of a light overview and a way to put it into your practice. It's a book called The Language of Yin by Gabrielle Harris. And this book, the whole book is not on the eight limbs, but it's kind of nice where it will look at each limb and it will talk about that and how it affects your practice, how you can put it into play and how you can use it. And it even gives you a little practice based on that yama or niyama.
Oh, that's really cool.
That's a nice, yeah, it's kind of cool.
And you said that was called The Language of Yin?
The Language of Yin by Gabrielle Harris. And it's really a lovely book. I use this book pretty often, not as much as Lauren does. Lauren uses this book almost daily. She really loves it. And it's just a beautiful little book.
Lovely.
Did you put that on your list of books you need?
I did.
I know, because every time you mention a book that I don't have, I'm quickly jotting it down going, oh yeah, I need that book.
Yeah, The Radiant Sutras, if you don't have that one, is a really cool book. And then The Art of the Yoga Sutras is also a really cool book.
I don't have either of those, so those are going to go on my list.
What?
I know. You know what? Why don't we ask our listeners to give us some questions they would love to have us answer. Well, I know we would love to hear more from our listeners, so we would love for you guys to send us any comments or questions that you would like us to answer. Our email address is twopittasonapod@gmail.com, and we would love to hear from you.
You can always throw a text onto our Facebook group as well, so that we know what you all want to hear, because we would really love to have involvement from all of you so that we can provide you with answers to the burning questions that you all have. We love to do the work. We don't mind sitting with our books and studying it up so that we can present you with whatever information it is that you're looking for.
Exactly.
I am Kat Kahn.
And I am Tanya Rice.
And this is Two Pittas
on a Pod, signing off.
Thank you for listening to Two Pittas on a Pod. We're grateful you joined us. We hope you'll join us again for more musings of a couple of yogis.
We hope you learned, laughed, and enjoyed this podcast, and we hope you will share your comments or questions.